Hi, I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. I am here today with Joanne Wasbauer, the recently retired general manager of Curry Public Transit. How are you, Joanne?
Fine.
Thanks for being here today. Joanne, Curry Public Transit's gone through a huge growth spurt in the last few years. You want to tell us a little bit about what's been happening?
Yes. Back when I took over transit, which was in 2007, we were in serious financial difficulty. And with the help of my staff and with ODOT, we managed to get through everything. We had a big embezzlement that we went to court with. Some of the listeners probably remember that. And we settled, and the embezzler paid us back. Of course, all the money had to go back to the county because we owed them money. When we finally got all of that straightened out and got going, yes, our ridership has gone up almost double since then, and which is good. That's what we want to see.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. The ridership has doubled since then. That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool to come back to my hometown and see that there's public transit available.
Yeah, it's a great system here. I'm very proud of what we've done here over the years because we have one of the few dialer rides where you don't have to call 24 hours before to make a reservation. We try to make it, if you call and need it right then, you probably won't get in, but you might. The way we run it, we run south on the half hour, north on the hour, and we pick you up and take you. If you're going to something that's south of you, you catch the southbound. If you're going the other direction, you catch the northbound, so that you get picked up in the same run and dropped off. And we only go like 3 miles each direction from the center of town. So that covers most people. And it's a very effective way of doing it because we have a long, skinny town.
Yeah. So it's not really a fixed route. It's more kind of...
It's not a fixed route.
Where the person needs to be picked up at.
Yeah. And we pick up at people's homes. We don't... they don't wait for us on a street corner someplace or anything like that.
So they'd come to my door and pick me up at my door?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
Or stop out in front of your house.
They won't come and knock on the door for me. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No,
they'll beep their horn.
They'll beep their horn. That's awesome. So how would people call and schedule a ride if they need to schedule a ride? Is there a phone number they can call?
Yes. We have a 800 number, and we also have our regular Brookings number. Our Brookings number is 541-412-8806. And you will get Dana, probably get Dana, our dispatcher.
Can you repeat that number one more time for our listeners?
541-412-8806.
And it's really affordable.
Yes. If you're 60 and older, it's $2 a ride being one way. If you're going to use us a lot, we have a monthly pass for $50, and that's usable any place on our system. In our system, we have two parts to it. We have the dialer ride, and then we have the Coastal Express, and that runs from Smith River to Coos Bay North Bend. And you can use that monthly pass for that run as well as the dialer ride.
Oh, really? So the monthly pass works on the Coastal Express as
yeah.
well?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So if I needed to go to, like, Port Orford or Coos Bay, I could.
Yeah.
With the monthly pass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really cool. And then once a rider was to get to Coos Bay or down to Smith River, there's other regional transits that connect in both of those communities, right?
Yes. The Smith River is actually to the gas station across the street from the casino. And we meet with Redwood Coast Transit at the times that we go there. So people who are continuing south, they go down to the Eureka area, and then you pick up another system down there. We actually took over the Greyhound run when they gave it up, which was before my time.
I remember the Greyhound run. Yeah. Used to wait for the buses on Railroad.
Yeah.
Down by Local Market, if anybody remembers that.
Well, there still is a run that is down at Railroad. They were, well, I think they've moved now, but they run something called the Southwest Point, mm-hmm. Point, which is another state bus company, state run. And it goes from here to Crescent City and then over to Medford, and it ends up at Klamath Falls in the evening time. There's okay. only one way, so it's really hard. You have to plan on spending the night there if you're going to yeah. take it.
Yeah, I've heard now that you have to actually, I think it's at Ray's where they pick up, and you meet the driver, and it's really early in the morning like it was before. And
it's 8, yeah,
yeah. The driver takes your money and gives you the ticket there at Ray's, I've heard now. And Dana yeah. was actually telling me about it the other day, since I walk everywhere, right? Like, I keep thinking that I'm going to utilize your service, but most of the places that I walk, I can get to. And then when I need it, it's the evening and you all aren't running. So, yeah, but most of my day stuff is pretty walkable.
Yeah, we haven't gone to the evening service simply because we don't have enough requests yeah. for it, because it involves not only having a driver, but a dispatcher.
Yeah. So was there a plan to grow this much with Curry Public Transit, or did it just kind of happen?
Well, the original plan was to get back on our feet.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, we ended up growing.
Yeah. And then Curry Public Transit used to be, before it became Curry Public Transit, part of what was then the Senior Center, which is now known as the Chetco Activity Center, right?
That's true. They were the ones that were managing it. And when I actually, in the distant past, I was president of the center about that time, and we got a sizable bequest, and I made Transit spin off and become their own nonprofit. So,
okay. That was a pretty wise decision.
Yes.
Well, because look what's happened, right?
Yeah.
We still share a building, but you all are now your own entity.
Yeah.
Which, in my understanding of everything, probably makes it a little bit easier to operate both organizations.
Yes, that's for sure. It was a good decision, and it needed to be done.
Yeah. So when that decision was made, was it because of the difficulties that were happening?
Yes.
With transit money that was being spent?
Yeah, we actually owed the center and paid off a sizable debt with them, too. I think it was something like $50,000 that we owed the center. We had a huge debt. It was over $100,000.
Oh, wow.
To start with.
Well, congratulations on getting things back on track. You obviously are a smart woman.
Took me a while to do it, and yeah. a lot of luck.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you all a nonprofit now, or how do you all function?
Yes, we are a nonprofit, and we actually have a contract with the county, because the state doesn't give money directly to transits, small rural transits. So our contract is with the county, and they're responsible for the buses, although they're not. They let us use them at no charge, and we're responsible for them. So we do all the grants for getting buses, and we do all of the maintenance and fuel. All of that is on transit. So.
And then you all just got some new buses, correct?
Oh, yes. My favorite thing, we got 5 new buses from ODOT, and our buses were in such terrible shape. They gave us 5. We were the only person that got 5 out of that grant cycle.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So what happened to the previous buses?
Well, the buses go back to the county.
Okay.
And since the ODOT signs them over to the county so they can dispose of them, and then the money that they get disposing of them goes back into the transportation fund for matching dollars that we have to provide for the buses.
Oh, cool. So it's kind of like closing the loop. And
yes.
That's really awesome that they're forward-thinking like that.
Well, it's one of those things that ODOT doesn't want to see their money go to somebody else. So they're very careful about making sure that with the transit systems that, you know, anything that comes to them stays with them, essentially.
Oh, absolutely. Well, especially because I'm sure they're publicly funded, so they're being diligent with the money that they've been given by the citizens of Oregon. So that's a good thing. Very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you all have, how many buses do you have total then?
I think we have 11 right now, but we've got two that are going to be disposed of. And we also, two of our buses belong to Rogue Valley Transportation, which they purchased for us and gave to us. We have a contract for them. Last year when we were desperate for buses, and this is the first time ODOT's ever done this, and it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
They're trying it out on us.
Yeah. So do you all subsist on grants, or how do you?
72 or 73% of our funding comes from ODOT, and that means it comes from the feds. We're using FTA dollars, and, you know, we're waiting for the highway fund to be stabilized by the federal government, because it's a little hard to run a transit system on not knowing where your money's coming from.
For our listeners, what is FTA?
The FTA, the Federal Transportation
Authority.
The highway fund that they call it, that they've been kicking down the road for a long time. They fund it for 5 months or something like that. And when the sequester came on, we actually could not bill for 3 or 4 months while it was on. So, because there wasn't anybody there to process it.
Yeah.
It's kind of a novel way to try to have to run a business.
Yeah.
But we have tried and worked at building up some extra money for just such problems as that.
Yeah.
So we have our contingency fund that we keep working on. Whenever we get a chance, we add to it.
That's good. Always saving for a rainy day on the Southern Oregon coast.
Yeah.
It's really cool, actually, Joanne, to come back here and see, right? Because I started taking public transit when I was living in LA a few years ago. And Brookings is my hometown. And not having a car for the last 13 years, it's nice to come back here and see that there's options, right, for people that don't own a car. Because when I was here before, there was a dial-a-ride, but it did primarily serve the senior population because it was through the senior center. So it's nice to come back and see that there's options for those of us that choose alternative methods of transportation to hop on and take a ride to get where we need to go.
Yeah, I think about a third of our rides go to people who are not seniors or disabled.
Okay.
So that's just John Q. Public, as we call them, and that's a good number.
Yeah. What do you know? My last name is Q. Public, too. Just kidding. No, I've been talking downstairs with them. We're sitting in the Chetco Activity Center right now upstairs at one of the tables doing this interview. But I've been talking to them about when it starts raining, right, that having a monthly pass during those rainy months here would be a good idea for me to be able to get to and from where I need to go during the hours that you all operate so I don't get so wet. So
Sounds like a good idea.
It does sound like a good idea.
A dry idea, let's put it that way.
I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. I am here today with Joanne Wasbauer, the recently retired Curry Public Transit General Manager. KCIW is a nonprofit. If you're enjoying this programming here on KCIW, we ask that you consider donating. We are a nonprofit and we appreciate all of your donations. So, Joanne, where do you, as the recently retired General Manager of Curry Public Transit, where do you see us going in the future with public transit in Curry County?
Well, the population's been pretty static for the last 10 years, so I don't see it expanding right now. We're actually at maximum capacity for our spending. We spend every dime that we get in the form of grants. I would like to see more medical transport being provided, and that's one of those things that takes a lot of time to set it up.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like to see a duplication of routes. However, our routes aren't duplicated. If you get to Coos Bay, you go into their dial-a-ride system or their fixed route. They actually have a fixed route which goes to all the shopping places that you probably would want to go to.
Okay.
If you go the other way to Coos Bay, Crescent City, the same thing is there too. So I think that it's probably going to hold for a while, but we hope that to have increased ridership. Our ridership is good. We actually have some days now that we're full in buses, especially on the Coastal Express. We have a interesting group. We have bike racks on the front of our express buses, and we're very busy in the summertime with people who bike the northern coast from north to south, and then they don't want to pedal into the wind, so they turn around and take the bus back. So we've, you know, sometimes we have six or eight bicycles on board. Mm-hmm. We have space for some.
Oh, that's cool.
So those are things you could do. You could put your bike on, go up north, and then bike back. Or we're talking, one of the future things we are looking is the possibility of a Saturday service,
okay,
which would allow you to go to as far as north as Coos Bay. And you wouldn't have as much time up there, maybe a couple of hours. But if we do that, and we'll have buses running, we'll have a bus running each direction. Mm-hmm. So if people are interested in something like that, please let us know.
Yeah, Saturday service would be really cool for those people that maybe work during the week that need, for some reason, to get up north and can't.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. And I'm noticing, too, a lot more. I've been back for about 2.5 years, and I'm noticing a lot more pedestrians on the streets of Brookings. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Has impacted you all?
It doesn't impact us, but it's good to see them on the streets of Brookings.
So there hasn't been an increase in ridership in the last couple of years?
There has been an increase in ridership. A lot of the people... You know, the people that walk are mainly in the south area. It seems like more people walk down there than they do here. ODOT is in the process of it's my understanding that they are going to be finishing the sidewalks down there. So they go from the bridge down past the shopping center, and they're going to be on both sides of the road.
That would be so fabulous.
It's something that I've been agitating for a number of years.
Yeah.
But we get it done when there's some money left over from somebody else's grant.
Yes.
And they move it around. And
they forget that we're a part of Oregon.
Yeah, and that's county land. So, you know, it's not like the city where, you know, they have their own grants for transportation through ODOT.
Yeah. So as we come towards the end of the podcast, is there anything that you would like to talk about transit, anything that you're passionate about around this subject that maybe we haven't mentioned?
Well, the main thing I'm passionate about is our service and my employees. My late employees or ex-employees, they are really, really a fantastic group of people and have done a great job and are certainly as every bit responsible for our successes as anyone.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, I really appreciate them. A lot of them, they know me because we work in the same building, but they always wave at me as they drive by. And I think that that's so cool that, you know, they're so friendly, because that's a big part of, you know, I think what intimidates some people about public transit, just in general anywhere, is just that fear of, well, I don't know how it works and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to figure it out. And having friendly people when you call to schedule the ride, and then friendly people that are picking you up when you're getting on the bus helps, right? Because people that have never done it. I remember when I first took the bus in LA, I had no clue. Now I'm an expert, right? I love public transit, but a lot of people that have never done it before and have never been exposed to it don't know how it works. So
yeah, the Coastal Express is just like a Greyhound. And the dialer ride is pretty unique to this area. And we don't have the requirements of other people about when we pick up and so forth. The interesting part is that our buses they're actually not even considered buses, believe it or not, because of the size, because we have a maximum of 14 passengers that we can carry at one time. And that's a legal requirement for us.
So what are they considered if they're not considered buses?
Well, under the Oregon laws, they're considered a vehicle, like a pickup or a truck would be.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With just a lot of extra people in the back.
Yeah. I mean, there's a load limit that we have to mm-hmm. be under and things like that, but we're under it anyway because it'd be hard to put that many tons on the bus.
Yeah.
We have a couple of extra things we do. We do package delivery. And one of the things we've done, I don't know how long we'll keep continuing to do it, is that we do the move the books up and down the coast for the interlibrary loan between here and Bandon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, we started doing it. They called and asked. And it's beginning to, the libraries are beginning to have so much more usage that it's coming in effort for some of my drivers. We can get a 50-pound box of books or something like that. It's,
yeah.
It becomes critical because yeah. they're not allowed to lift that much.
Yeah. But that's still really cool that,
yeah, it's a great
libraries
service.
Yeah. Are considering that and working on that. So what's the next plan for Joanne Wasbauer? What are you doing now with your retirement?
Travel and caregiving.
Travel and caregiving?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite place to travel?
Oh, I like to go abroad.
Yeah, any place
in particular? My last trip was up into the Arctic Circle via Norway, and that was a lot of fun. That was the one I got back. I did that right after I retired, so I did it in June. But I've also been to the Antarctica. I went for a 3-week trip down there that we were in an icebreaker. We got to get off and walk all over Antarctica. There's not much there. It's pretty depauperate flora and fauna, but it was a fantastic trip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll find plenty of other places to go. I've never been to Hawaii. I think that might be a good place to go to.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. I kind of have been living vicariously through you in your retirement since you retired. I used to see you every day, and now you come back and visit and say hello, and I want to hear about your adventures. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Joanne, I really appreciate you and all you've done for the Chetco Activity Center and for Curry Public Transit and this community. And thank you for helping get Curry Public Transit back on track. It's a really great service, and I certainly have appreciated the sharing a building with you all and learning about what you all do and having the option to travel up and down the coast or in town if I need it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Absolutely. I'm Scott Clapson, the community organizer here on KCIW. I've been here today with Joanne Wasbauer from Curry Public Transit. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. If you like this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign to help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org.